This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Today, it was British Prime Minister Tony Blair's turn to testify in front of a judicial inquiry investigating issues related to the case his government made for war. Blair told the Hutton inquiry that he would have resigned if the BBC had been right in claiming his government exaggerated an intelligence report on Iraq's weapons program. As NPR's Guy Raz reports from London, the inquiry has captured the imagination of the British public.
When his armored black Land Rover pulled up to the Royal Court of Justice this morning, the Prime Minister wasn't greeted by his devotees. Hundreds of anti-war demonstrators mingled among the assembled press corps from around the world. As far as the British media and much of the British public was concerned, this was Blair's day of reckoning. At issue today was whether the Prime Minister would defend an allegation he made last year on the floor of the House of Commons when he cited a key intelligence report.
It concludes that Iraq has chemical and biological weapons, that Saddam has continued to produce them, that he has existing and active military plans for the use of chemical and biological weapons, which could be activated within 45 minutes, including against his own Shia population, and that he is actively trying to acquire nuclear weapons capability.
It's now known as the 45-minute claim. The allegation was included in a government intelligence dossier on Iraq released last year, just as the United States and Britain were preparing to make a case for war. In May of this year, the BBC reported that that claim was questionable and that Blair and his inner circle forced intelligence experts to include it in the dossier. Today, Blair vehemently denied the charge and said the BBC report was based on false information. It was an extraordinary allegation to make, the Prime Minister told the inquiry. It was an allegation that we had behaved in a way that, were it true, would have warranted my resignation. Hundreds of ordinary people had lined up outside the Court of Justice overnight to see the Prime Minister give evidence, some wrapped in sleeping bags for the long night ahead.
I want to see Tony Blair fight for his political life because, quite frankly, he needs to. The eyes of the nation are on him.
Throughout the day, passers-by stood outside the building to find out the latest news and express their views.
It goes to the heart of the way we're governed and the way news is presented to us.
I think there's a real drive and a real need to know what the truth is and that we're not going to stand for government lying to us.
The newspapers and television stations have devoted wall-to-wall coverage to the hearings. What happens inside the courtroom isn't televised, so one channel, Sky News, has gone so far as to broadcast a daily reenactment of the events.
Were you aware that Dr. Kelly had some views that might be considered uncomfortable on the dossier and Iraqi weapons of mass destruction?
We've discussed already his distinctive views on... He had an assessment. I think this was the point.
Press coverage of the story differs dramatically from newspaper to newspaper, but not in the usual way. Both the left-leaning Guardian and the right-leaning Telegraph have come down hard on the Prime Minister, but the Times of London and the tabloid Sun have blamed the BBC for igniting the crisis. No wonder, says Roger Silverstone of the London School of Economics. Both the Times and the Sun are owned by media magnate Rupert Murdoch, a man who'd like to see the BBC lose its government funding.
Certainly in the Murdoch press, there is a distinctive voice that is critical for good, sound commercial reasons of the BBC and more or less supportive of the government for equally sound commercial reasons.
Murdoch's papers may blame the BBC, while others point to 10 Downing Street. But it's clear that neither of these vaunted British institutions will emerge from the hearings unscathed. Guy Raz, NPR News, London.